This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Destruction in Mexico. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, September 20th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Desperate search and rescue efforts are underway in central Mexico, where a large and deadly earthquake has collapsed dozens of buildings.
Mother Nature's wrath is also on display in the Caribbean, where Hurricane Maria is targeting Puerto Rico next.
President Trump has delivered his first speech to the UN General Assembly, where he threatened North Korea and called out Iran.
And why the new iPhone 8 may not be the upgrade you're looking for.
Well, I've been using the iPhone 8 and the 8 Plus for the last week, and I have to say it's a pretty mediocre upgrade for anybody who's coming from an iPhone 7 in particular, but even from some earlier ones.
Wall Street Journal tech writer Jeffrey Fowler has a lukewarm review of the latest offerings from Apple in about 20 minutes. Second big earthquake in a month has struck Mexico, this time quickly sending the early death toll numbers to more than 200. It happened yesterday in the central part of the country, not far from the capital of Mexico City, where emergency personnel searched frantically with picks and shovels for survivors beneath an estimated 44 collapsed buildings, including at least one primary school where many children are feared dead. Millions of people fled into the streets where they weathered the violent shaking and tried to locate family and friends.
When buildings were collapsing, the screams, what people were afraid of, and myself, we were afraid of, that who's left behind, who has been injured, if anyone else has been injured.
The magnitude 7.1 quake hit just hours after emergency drills marked the anniversary of a tremor that killed thousands in 1985. Crews used heat-sensing equipment that suggested where survivors could still be trapped. Bystanders cleared debris with their bare hands or whatever tools they could find. Saying that denuclearization is the only acceptable future for North Korea, President Trump threatened to totally destroy the communist nation if the U.S. has to defend itself or its allies against the Pyongyang regime. His warning came during his first address to the United Nations General Assembly yesterday.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
He even developed a nickname for North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, who has alarmed the world with a series of missile tests lately, referring to him as Rocket Man.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
Mr. Trump also went after Iran, calling it an authoritarian regime that supports terrorists. And he denounced the 2015 nuclear disarmament agreement between Iran and six world powers, including the U.S. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu issued a statement saying that in over 30 years, in his experience with the U.N., he has never heard a bolder or more courageous speech. President Trump is urging his foreign counterparts to put the security of their own countries first, much as he intends to do as the leader of the U.S. That was another point during a speech before the U.N. More from Stephen Nelson, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. Stephen, what did we see?
We saw a very strong condemnation of traditional United States adversaries, particularly North Korea, Iran, and Venezuela. So outlining his approach to the problems that the world is confronting right now, and also his vision for how the world should work in a more positive manner.
All right, so making headlines right out of the gate is his reference to Kim Jong-un, North Korea's leader, as Rocket Man. Was there any kind of general reaction from the General Assembly?
there, of course, were gasps that he would use that somewhat taunting pejorative to describe the North Korean leader. Earlier, he used this on Twitter, and people were shocked that he would tweet that. Now he's standing before the United Nations, and he says it aloud. So people were taken aback by that initially. But really, it's President Trump continuing his message that strength is the proper approach to North Korea. And it was strong, surprising language, but it maybe is not so surprising when we consider that the Defense Secretary and President Trump himself have said that they can wipe North Korea off the face of the earth if there is an actual attack on the United States or its allies.
Yeah, I mean, he used the word annihilation, didn't he?
Yep. Yeah. And so this, of course, is not new language. The stakes are high, of course, and perhaps the gasping about Rocket Man is a little bit misplaced when we're considering that people are talking openly about nuclear war being a possibility.
All right. What was said on Iran? Because he called them out as well.
Certainly. He said that the Iran deal was an embarrassment to the United States. And so he is laying out at least the rhetorical case for some sort of renegotiation. He, of course, has criticized repeatedly the deal that the Obama administration made regarding Iran's nuclear program and has not been particularly timid in criticizing what he sees as Iran violating at least the spirit of the deal and expressing interest in a better deal.
All right, so I think we all kind of anticipated North Korea and Iran would be on things he would discuss, but Venezuela worked its way in too. How come?
Certainly. Well, that is a safe target for President Trump. The Venezuelan president has disregarded the elected parliament, has been facing a massive street protest. It's a very safe case to criticize in Nicolas Maduro. Things aren't going well in Venezuela, but President Trump used the occasion also to have a crowd-pleasing line for an American audience, talking about how this is not a case of socialism being botched. It's a perfect case of how socialism is implemented and the end results of that. So he criticized the case that is very easy to criticize in Venezuela, but did it with a broader ideological stroke that certainly is going to please an American audience as well.
Mm. We're speaking with Stephen Nelson, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner, talking about President Trump's first remarks to the United Nations. He did not bring up Russia, correct? How come?
You know, he used the word Russia once, and he used it thanking them for voting for sanctions against North Korea. And I believe that we could just assume that he does not want to be speaking about Russia, because every time you do mention that country, the case of its alleged role in the 2016 election, allegedly in favor of President Trump, would come up. So probably that is a strategically wise decision. If he were to criticize Russia, of course, everyone discussing his criticism of Russia would also be mentioning its alleged role in the 2016 election. Mm. So I believe that we could all fairly surmise that that is the reason why he did not go into greater detail there.
Thanks, Stephen. Stephen Nelson, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Hurricane Maria has pounded St. Croix, one of the U.S. Virgin Islands in the Caribbean. The second maximum strength hurricane in the Atlantic this month is headed to Puerto Rico now with catastrophic winds and dangerous storm surges. Maria, a Category 5, has killed at least one person in Guadalupe and devastated the tiny island nation of Dominica. The storm comes on the heels of Hurricane Irma, of course, which ranked as one of the most powerful storms on record and left a trail of destruction on several Caribbean islands. Eric Blake at the National Hurricane Center says sustained winds are near 165 miles an hour with even higher gusts.
Wobbles a little more to the right. It could affect the other Virgin Islands more. Wobbles more to the left. It more directly impacts Puerto Rico.
Maria was predicted to be the worst storm to hit St. Croix since Hugo, a Category 4 storm back in 1989. Many residents of the U.S. Virgin Islands fled to shelters around midday yesterday. The governor, Kenneth Mapp, warned people on the islands that their lives were at risk. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon police, firefighters, and ordinary Mexicans are frantically digging through the rubble of collapsed schools, homes, and apartment buildings, looking for survivors of Mexico's deadliest earthquake in decades. One of the most desperate rescue efforts is at a primary and secondary school in southern Mexico City, where a slab of the three-story building collapsed into a massive pancake of concrete slabs. This man works in Mexico City.
Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible. Frighteningly horrible.
Tuesday's magnitude 7.1 quake struck on the 32nd anniversary of the 1985 earthquake that killed thousands. Hundreds are reported so far dead from this quake. President Trump vowed to totally destroy North Korea if the U.S. is forced to defend itself or its allies against the renegade nation's nuclear weapons program, making his case in a combative debut speech at the U.N. that laid out a stark good versus evil view of a globe plagued by chaos and turmoil. Trump's broadsides against rogue regimes drew murmurs from the assembled world leaders.
Major portions of the world are in conflict, and some, in fact, are going to hell.
Trump added that it is far past time for the world to confront the North Korean leader whose pursuit of nuclear weapons poses a threat to the entire world with an unthinkable loss of human life. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says the U.S. would only remain a part of the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement if it's modified, a position that could heighten tension at a planned meeting today of countries that are part of the accord, including Iran.
The president really wants to redo that deal. He said renegotiate it. We do need the support, I think, of our allies, the European allies and others, to make the case as well to Iran that this deal really has to be revisited.
Tillerson's demand for modifications made in an interview on Fox was the most specific such U.S. demand yet and comes as European officials press the Trump administration to remain part of the deal. Well, it's that time of year again when retailers post their hot toy list for the holidays. The latest from Kmart, which put out its top 15 most sought-after toys. The list includes the Ninjago Water Strider by Lego, Hasbro's Nerf, AccuStrike, Raptor Strike, and Mattel's Holiday Barbie.
I like that Nerf. I like that Nerf one.
You missed the story yesterday of people getting injured shooting each other with
Nerf thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch out.
The fun police have been called to the scene. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Considering upgrading your smartphone to an iPhone 8, Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist Jeffrey Fowler says the iPhone 8 reminds him of the fifth Transformers movie. You know it's new, though you can't for the life of you figure out how it's different. On its face, he says the 8 looks like an iPhone from 2014. And like another sequel, he says the best thing about the iPhone 8 is that it's entirely avoidable. Jeff, your impressions.
Well, I've been using the iPhone 8 and the 8 Plus for the last week, and I have to say it's a pretty mediocre upgrade for anybody who's coming from an iPhone 7 in particular, but even from some earlier ones. But the important thing to keep in mind here is the way we buy phones and the way we do upgrades is really changing a lot. Used to be that, you know, you just, there was kind of one new iPhone in the every year and you had to decide, is it an upgrade year or not? But this year, you've actually got some real choices. So we've got these 8 phones that Apple announced last week and are now on sale. We've also got this iPhone 10, which is going to cost $1,000 and has a whole new look and everything that's coming out later this fall. So you've got real choices. And after having spent some time with this one, I got to say it kind of falls in the middle and doesn't really serve a lot of folks. If you're the kind of person that really knows that you've just got to have the latest, greatest thing, then you should get the iPhone X. It's got all these new tricks. It's got a bigger screen. It's got a better battery life. it's for you. But if you can't really be bothered with, you know, a lot of bells and whistles, then you don't need the iPhone 8 either. You're actually going to be great with the iPhone 7, which came out last year and now costs $150 less than the iPhone 8. It's just $550. So that kind of leaves the 8 in the middle and doesn't really serve anyone.
Wow. All right, so it depends on your priorities and what you want from a phone, I guess?
Indeed. And I think that's a pretty big shift in how we think about it. There are now iPhones that cost anywhere from $350 all the way up to well over $1,000. And so it's not really just about buying the spendiest or the most expensive thing Apple has anymore. It's about finding the right one for you.
So when the iPhone X is finally released, is it going to be a must-have? Or based on the 8s, are you unsure about that?
Well, it's a good question. So we haven't had a chance yet to do a full review of the iPhone X. I spent some time, a little bit of time with it when Apple released it at their, or showed it off at their event last week. I think the biggest deal with it is really just going to be that it has this bigger screen, this new design, and also that longer battery life. And so I think for a set of people who really use their phones a lot, that's really going to be something they care a lot about. The changes in the 8 are more things that which are also reflected in the 10 in many ways, but they're things that people who aren't smartphone super users probably won't notice. That top of the list is wireless charging. That's something they've added to the 8 and, of course, to the 10 as well. But it's really not a mainstream thing yet, and my experience using a wireless charger for the last week was not great.
Thanks, Jeff. That's Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist Jeffrey Fowler in San Francisco. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys for your dog from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. Each monthly box is themed like Country Fair or Brooklyn Hipster and packed with new and unique toys that continue to keep dogs engaged, interested, and happy. Every month, BarkBox Paw Picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies and heavy chewer preferences. If your dog does not like something in the box, they'll even send you something they'll love for free. Because BarkBox is all about dog happiness. Free shipping on any BarkBox within the continental U.S. My dogs Lola and Daisy are going to love it when the treats and toys show up at the door. It'll keep them happy, and it's convenient for me. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/Gordon when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. That's BarkBox.com/Gordon to get a free month when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. Make your dog happy. BarkBox.com/Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Wednesday, September 20th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. More than 200 dead from a central Mexico earthquake. That number is climbing. Hurricane Maria lines up Puerto Rico. Trump threatens North Korea and calls out Iran at the UN. Dolphins have suspended linebacker Lawrence Timmons indefinitely for going AWOL last weekend. Record number of home runs in baseball this year. Sundown tonight brings the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah, and with that, a talk about gefilte fish. Is it nightmarish or the ultimate Jewish comfort food? That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting concludes later today with an announcement expected after lunch Eastern time. While no interest rate hike is coming, there is something of significant importance in the offing. The Fed is expected to begin unwinding its large balance sheet. What does that mean exactly? Here's Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, give us the basics.
You know, over the course basically of the past decade or the greater part of that decade, the Federal Reserve accumulated more than $4 trillion worth of fixed income securities. Translation, really, treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, the things that are used to finance mortgages that we all take out to buy a home or to refinance. And this was done after the financial crisis and in the midst of the recession to try to shore up the U.S. economy and also to keep interest rates more broadly lower. Well, of course, the greater part of a decade is now passed, and the Fed wants to get back to a more neutral position, and it wants to essentially start shedding some of those assets from its collective proverbial wallet. So this is going to be a very slow process, and it wants to signal after today's meeting that this process will likely be getting underway. At the same time, it's not expected to raise interest rates anytime soon, and so this is really a gradual process, and it's not intended to rattle financial markets. Quite the contrary, it's intended to keep markets stable, so to speak.
Okay, so then what could happen? Where might these tentacles reach when this starts happening?
Well, of course, you know, when we're thinking about financial markets, very often we try to anticipate negative scenarios or worst-case scenarios. And one of the trying aspects of this whole process is it was never done before. The accumulation of the assets had never been done before by the Fed. Other central banks have sort of copied the process, and so the so-called unwinding of it is also new territory. So some of the worst-case scenarios could be a sharp increase in interest rates, stock market pullback that might be more daunting for investors, and perhaps limiting the progress that we've seen in the housing market, which would also include a limit to further home price gains. Finally, if it were to go bad, it could just simply interrupt this years-long economic expansion or the progress that we've been making with the economy. Worst-case scenario, a recession. But the Fed always has the ability to try to put some of this would-be genie back in the bottle. So that's one of the reasons why not only have they been foreshadowing the process, but they've been gradual about it as well.
Gotcha. We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, talking about this Fed announcement about them unwinding their balance sheet. I thought I saw a headline that said something to the effect of it's not going to happen like the Fed says it will. What might that scenario be?
Well, I mean, I think the part of you know, life seldom turns out the same way as we expect it to. And so I think, for one thing, we have to think about the leadership of the Fed. Janet Yellen's term ends at the end of January. It's certainly uncertain that whether she'll be reappointed. President Trump is reported to be looking at other possible leaders of the central bank. And the number two central banker, Stanley Fischer, has essentially resigned effective mid-October. So the leadership of the Fed very much in transition, unless we get a surprise and Janet Yellen's reappointed. And then just the way that the economy itself unfolds is always full of surprises. The Fed itself has been surprised that the unemployment rate has been as low as it has been, at least in terms of the timeline, and that inflation has not been higher by this time. So I think the Fed wants to be flexible in terms of how it's going to react and how it's going to unfold this process, and therefore, for the rest of us who are, let's say, participants and observers of the economy, we have to be on the outlook for changes for among the reasons that we mentioned at the outset, that there could be some negative consequences as well, even though we're not forecasting them.
Okay, so who, I guess, will be selling, or rather, who will be buying what the Fed will be selling?
Well, it's complicated. First of all, in some cases, these assets are just simply allowed to, the term is called roll off, or essentially expire at the end of their would-be term.
Okay.
So in those cases, that isn't really sort of a process where, like a stock, you sell it and then someone buys it. But in the other cases where, if there were outright selling, it would be just the same as any other asset where you can imagine it could be institutional investors or other central banks.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or find us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome aboard Beyond the Headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you might remember Canadian singer Avril Lavigne from her chart-topping hits in the early 2000s, but the one-time pop-punk princess is back and at the top of a dubious list. She's been named the most dangerous celebrity on the internet. Cybersecurity firm McAfee said yesterday that Lavigne, whose last album came out in 2013, was the most likely celebrity to land users on websites that carry viruses or malware. Searches for Lavigne have a 14.5% chance of landing on a web page with the potential for online threats, a number that increases to 22% if users type in her name and search for free MP3s. Mm. That's never a good idea. Bruno Mars was second in his debut on the list, followed closely by Carly Rae Jepsen, Zayn Malik, and Celine Dion. Now, it's a bit of a head-scratcher as Lavigne has been out of the spotlight for several years as she battles Lyme disease, but McAfee speculates that renewed interest in her as she works on a new album, a feature story on her by E! Online, and an internet conspiracy that she had been replaced by an imposter could all be contributing factors. Lavigne replaces comedian Amy Schumer, who the company says was the most dangerous celebrity last year. Mm. So, and these are all, at least on this year's list, these are just about all musicians. So I'm guessing that whole, again, that whole free downloading of music thing that people are always trying to scam on the internet will always lead you in a bad direction.
I think I like it better when I was Rickrolled.
Yes.
Versus this happening.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, we didn't hear about too many people getting viruses from that. And Gordon, a runner in Washington State Marathon, is being praised for her determination after a barrel rolling across the finish line moments after taking a bad fall. A spectator at the Tunnel Vision Marathon posted a video to Facebook showing runner Devin Byling, after taking a bad fall about 12 yards short of the end, rolling across the finish line to the delight of spectators. Witnesses say she had apparently tried to crawl at first, but then ended up rolling when the sharp terrain hurt her knees. Byling wrote in a Facebook post that she was initially embarrassed to find out her unusual finish had been captured on video, but she was heartened by all the supportive comments from admirers who praised her determination. At last check, the video had been watched over 45,000 times.
You just got the sense that her body was shot.
Yes.
That was the only thing she could manage to do was to just roll.
It's hard enough to get to the end of a marathon, but then if anything happens, anything takes you out of your rhythm,
right?
I mean, your body just like, that's it, I'm done. Once you stop, it's hard to get it moving again. And, you know, apparently she was hurt. She got some medical attention right after rolling across the finish line. So, but good for her.
It looked like it was like a dirt finish line. So it was, I don't know, it was an obstacle race or just happened to be a run through the woods or something.
Yeah, or maybe they had those those cinders, I think, maybe were on there, like they have on the tracks or something.
Yeah,
so that might have been hurting her knees when she was trying to crawl.
Good for her. Yeah, well, you don't want to go all the way that far and then, what did you say, 12 yards before the finish line, suddenly
yes,
not be able to finish.
You got, you know, 26.095 miles or whatever.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.com. Thanks for being with us. A series of earthquakes plagued Southern California in the past 30 days. Then yesterday, of course, the 7.1 magnitude tremor rocked Mexico City. Does this mean the big one could hit the Golden State next? Experts say no, reiterating to USA Today that earthquakes happen without warning and it is still impossible to predict the big one. Seismologist Lucy Jones said in a barrage of tweets yesterday that magnitude 3 quakes happened somewhere in the world every few minutes, noting that there were 6 in Southern California last week. She emphasized there was no connection to Mexico. In the past 30 days, there have been about 10 small earthquakes near the Coachella Valley. Nearly 2,000 miles separate Westwood, California, from Mexico City, and Ms. Jones said it was impossible for the earlier earthquake to have triggered the other. On the heels of hurricanes Harvey and Irma, some brought up the age-old idea that weather causes earthquakes. Experts shot that down, though, saying at least 95% of earthquakes happen when earth movement shifts the crust, which is made up of plates. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Boarding rescuers and volunteers are frantically digging through the rubble of collapsed schools, homes, and apartment buildings looking for survivors of Mexico's deadliest earthquake since 1985. As the number of confirmed fatalities crosses into the hundreds, Claude Rosenzweig lives just outside Mexico City.
There were two buildings that collapsed in front of me, and in the aftermath, there was a lot of rubble and concrete.
Yesterday's magnitude 7.1 quake struck on the 32nd anniversary of a trembler that killed thousands and came just 2 hours after earthquake drills were held across Mexico to mark that date. Puerto Rico today faces what officials say could be the strongest hurricane to ever hit the U.S. territory, as they warn it could decimate power utilities and force the government to rebuild dozens of communities. Maria is barreling toward the island with 175-mile-per-hour winds and is expected to make landfall mid-morning, punishing the island with life-threatening winds for 12 to 24 hours. Governor Ricardo Rizzo.
This is, without a doubt, the most dangerous storm in our generation.
Maria ties for the eighth strongest storm in Atlantic history when measured by wind speed. A last-chance push by Republicans to scrap the Affordable Care Act is gaining momentum but still faces formidable odds, with some key Republican senators wavering in their support days before a possible vote. The latest drive to repeal most of the ACA comes from a bill sponsored by Bill Cassidy and Lindsey Graham.
Our goal is by 2026 to make sure that every patient in every state gets the same contribution roughly from the federal government and allow people in your states to make decisions that would have been made in Washington.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Republicans are in the process of discussing whether to hold a vote on the legislation. Yep, the balls have indeed been sailing over our heads and out of the ballpark. Kansas City's Alex Gordon last night hit Major League Baseball's record 5,694th home run of the season, breaking a season record set in 2000 at the height of the steroids era. And with about 6 weeks left in the season, it looks like that record will be annihilated before all is said and done.
My goodness. That's a lot of home run calls on a nightly basis. Out of here. Gone. See ya. Need
exactly.
A montage of that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Rosh Hashanah. The Jewish New Year begins this evening. That usually means there will be conversations about a staple of Jewish cuisine, gefilte fish. That's Yiddish for stuffed fish. It's been a fixture for Matashevitz Company, which started selling jars of the beige dumplings of minced carp, pike, and whitefish in the late 1940s. But the Wall Street Journal says Matashevitz is struggling to make its product hook a new, more finicky generation of eaters. Among its more popular innovations, gluten-free gefilte fish. A new secret variation is yet to come, but some Jewish foodies say don't bother. Chaney Applebaum, a gourmet cook and kosher blogger from Brooklyn, says she ate gefilte fish from the jar as a child and still has nightmares today. But Karen Bloom of Westlake Village, California, says after she had her tonsils removed as a four-year-old, she refused any nourishment, even ice cream and jello. Instead, she says she pointed to the jar of gefilte fish, which she calls the ultimate Jewish comfort food. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.